Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We do have our Where Are They Now guest with us. And Chris, I've been cautious about promoting your appearance because we were really excited to get you. But knowing what's going on around the league, we didn't know if you're going to be able to take a few minutes or not. Guys, the general manager of the Indianapolis Colts, Chris Ballard, is now an NFL Executive of the Year, also a longtime Chicago Bears scout member of the Bears front office, was a candidate, or at least believed to be a candidate at one time for a Bears GM job. He's killing it in Indy right now and is good enough to join us today. Chris, we really appreciate you taking time out for us this morning. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
Chris, we've got, of course, Patrick Manley and Olin Kreutz here, and we've been talking, we've been trying to talk about what's going on with the league with this public health crisis without pretending that we have any answers. I can't imagine what this does to front offices and to you guys trying to anticipate what's next as this news kind of breaks every couple hours and then things seem to change. How difficult is this for you to manage as a general manager?
Well, I can tell you this, we can't anticipate it either. Frank and I sat down kind of when we figured we were going to get started again, and we just said, look, we're going to take it day by day. We're not going to worry about the problem. You can't worry about the problem. You can't sit and fret and agonize over what the problem is. We're going to do what the league says and take care of the testing and the protocols and wear masks and do things the right way. But we got to get a football team ready to play. And look, we're fortunate because Frank's done a great job with our team. Our team understands what's at stake. And, you know, we feel good when we're in the building, but, you know, we're not in a bubble. You know, I get frustrated when people say we're in a bubble. We're not in a bubble. You know, we all got to go home to families. I got five kids and a wife, and they've got a life to live, and all our players have wives and families, and they got to live. So we've educated our families on, you know, there's going to be some sacrifices that have to be made by all of us, including them. And, you know, we're doing the best we can, but we take it day by day, and we concentrate on the things we can control. And what we can control is taking care of our business and making sure we're doing things right and getting ready to play each and every day.
Hey, Chris, Olin Kreutz here, man. Congratulations on all your success. I think anybody who was in the building during your years in Chicago and watched the way you carried yourself and how hard you worked knew that eventually you'd be in the big seat making the big decisions. And just really, really happy to watch all your success. My question for you is that when you think about Matt Eberflus' defense, and, you know, we all know that from the Lovie Smith and the Rob Marinelli era, and you need a three technique there like Tommy Harris or Warren Sapp, and I'm looking at your guys' team in the offseason and your D-line, and just my question is, how the hell do you pull off that trade for DeForest Buckner? Because I'm thinking there's no way they can get a three technique in that spot, and now you got one of the best in the league. You call John Lynch and get him from them. I'm just wondering how that all worked out for you guys.
Yeah, well, sometimes you just get lucky. I wish I could say it was some grand plan. I'm close with John, and, you know, they had, you know, sometimes the stars just meet. I mean, they had players up that they weren't going to be able to pay all of them. And, you know, they had Armstead, they had Kittle, and they had Buckner. And, you know, Buckner ended up being kind of the odd guy out at the end of the day. And, you know, timing and my relationship with John just happened to work out. We feel fortunate to get him because, I mean, look, you practice against that defense enough. And knowing that, like, the two spots you have to have are the three technique and the will. Well, we had Darius that we had drafted a couple years before, but finding a three technique that can disrupt is very difficult to do. So we felt lucky to get DeForest. And not only he would have fit in really well with the group in Chicago because he stands, you know, when we were there, because he stands for all the right things. I mean, this guy goes to work each and every day. You don't see much difference between the way he practices and game day. And it's really fun to watch and see, and we feel fortunate to have him.
Hey, Chris, good to talk to you, man. It's always been a pleasure to talk to you. I'd always enjoy talking to you back in, like, training camp times when you guys were back at Halas Hall when you were one of the scouts for the Bears. You'd always pick my brain about long snapping. So I got to pick your brain about scouting because I know that's your background, is the true scouting. How the heck do you find these small school guys that turn into be such good players like Darius Leonard and this Mo Alley Cox, number 81, the tight end for you guys?
You know, I kind of look back. So, my career started in Kingsville, Texas, where I was just fortunate to work with Coach Harms, Ron Harms. And he would always tell us that, you know, A&M, it used to be Texas A&I, and they had a great history of small school players going and making it in the NFL, from John Randall to Daryl Green, Johnny Bailey, Heath Sherman, just this plethora of great talent that came through there. So he would always tell us, don't settle when you're on the road recruiting. This is our standard of what we want to recruit. We want to recruit kids that we can win games with, but also are NFL-type players. And the history there from Eugene Upshaw to Al Harris to Robert Garza, who, you know, played for us in Chicago, that kind of gave me an indication to be able to watch those guys work and practice every day. So when I went into other small schools, you could see the guys that would stick out that, you know, everybody says, well, the level of competition. Well, you know, I always disagree with that, because if they're dominant at that level, they got a good chance to be dominant and play good football when they get in the NFL. And, you know, from Johnny Knox to Daniel Manning, you know, just a couple guys we had in Chicago that both were from Abilene Christian, Robert, who, you know, was a great longtime Bear and still a really close friend of mine. So I always tell our scouts, don't eliminate these small school players just because of the school. Look at the traits. Does he have the talent? And if he does, a lot of times those guys have chips on their shoulders. And, you know, Darius lives with a chip on his shoulder because he wasn't recruited by Clemson. And, you know, even as good as he's played, it's been fun to watch because he has not lost the chip at all.
Hub Arkish, Patrick Manley, and Olin Kreutz on your Bet Rivers Sportsbook pregame show, visiting with the general manager of the Indianapolis Colts, Chris Ballard, of course, longtime Chicago Bears scout and personnel expert as well. And Chris, I heard a rumor. Well, it's actually not a rumor. It was Matt who told us this. Apparently, I think it was Matt Nagy's oldest son and your oldest son were good friends or best friends in Kansas City. The families would spend parts of Easter together. Obviously, you know Matt well. What would you say as a general manager to Bears Nation, your observations of Matt Nagy, head coach?
Well, look, that's tremendous. I mean, you know, our relationships goes back to 2013 when I left Chicago, and it was Andy Reid's first year, and he hired Matt as the quarterback coach. And, you know, Matt and I connected pretty quickly, you know, like-minded in a lot of ways. And, you know, our families became very close and still are to this day. I'll tell you a story. The summer of 2018, I think it was, I come home and their son, his son was Tate, was playing in a baseball tournament at Grand Park close to my house. And I was coming home from work and I look out on the golf course and there's the three Nagy boys and then my boys and all the neighborhood boys on the first hole that got bases set up and they're playing baseball, you know, kind of like they did in Kansas City. So, no, the families were close. And, look, Matt's done a good job. He knows what he wants. He knows what he wants to do. He was trained by who I think is one of the best coaches to ever coach him in the National Football League, and Andy Reid. And they've done a tremendous job. You know, I know they had a little back, you know, came back to the pack a little bit last year at 8-8. But when I watch the tape and watching them, you know, Chicago's got a very good football team. And now, you know, adding Nick Foles, who Matt knows very well from our time in Chicago and his time, he was on that staff that drafted him in Philly. It makes them a very dangerous team.
Hey, Chris, I was wondering when I was looking at going over prepping for this interview, and I know that you were under Jerry Angelo for all those years, and then John Dorsey in Kansas City, and you're preparing all that time to be a general manager. What was it like the first time you actually had the final decision in 2017? I'm sure you were comfortable because all the prep work you did, but just what was it like? What was different than you thought it would be when you were the guy who made the final call?
And I learned this from both of them. And so, like, Jerry was great from the standpoint that even though I was an area scout, he pulled the curtain back. Like, we got to see everything. And I really think that helped me grow through the years. You know, I'm scouting the Southwest, but I'm getting to see why we made decisions. You know, what was the reasoning behind this decision? And John was the same way. John would pull back the curtain. It's not like that everywhere. You know, a lot of times they just ask for the information and, you know, get out of the way. But I was fortunate to work for two bosses that allowed me to see everything and how it worked and why they made decisions. And then Andy was outstanding when it came to, look, whatever we do, whatever decisions you make falls on your shoe, in your lap. And the one thing I think I was pretty prepared for, and this is how I roll anyways. I mean, when stuff goes wrong, it's my fault. And to me, that's the biggest difference between being, you know, underneath, is that, you know, you're shielded from your boss when problems occur. And, you know, I thought one of the great things with Andy is he never pointed blame at anybody else when things didn't go that way. I mean, look, nobody cares about your problems. They don't. They're just glad you got them. And when things don't go wrong, it falls at on my desk, and deservedly so. And I'll never shy away from that. That's just kind of how I was built in this business and growing up. That's the biggest difference, Olin, is when things go wrong, there's nobody to shield you. It's you. And you got to be able to stand up and, you know, be held accountable. And, you know, don't try to spin the story. It is what it is. And, you know, we'll figure out how to fix it and move forward.
Hey, Chris, we spent a lot of years together in Chicago, and you said Jerry Angelo, you know, let you behind the scenes quite a bit. Can you take us, Olin and I, upstairs and maybe tell us your favorite story, memory of something that happened that maybe we didn't know? Because, you know, us downstairs in the locker room and you guys upstairs, a lot of decisions were made that we had no idea about. But maybe there's something you could leak now without telling on anybody or just giving a good story.
I'll never forget when Olin, and I wasn't in the building, but I'll never forget when Olin, there's a couple things here, a couple stories. So when Olin was, the first time your contract came up, you had a chance to leave and go to Miami. And I'll never forget the sweat, because we did not want to lose the best leader in the locker room. And there was a lot of sweating going on hoping and praying that we would get Olin Kluch back, which we did. And it was very fortunate. It's been, I'm going to tell you, Olin, and this is not kissing your ass, but one of the things that I really, and Lovey used to tell me this all the time, that the locker room has to lead it. You've got to have the right leaders in the locker room to lead it. I mean, you can, coaches can coach and be great coaches, but at the end of the day, you're only going to go as far as that locker room wants to hold each other accountable. And I thought Olin was one of the best that I've been around. I've told Quentin Nelson that, and I'm glad Quentin gets to spend time with you to make it, because he's one of the best teammates I've ever been on. But now it's about taking that next step and not being afraid to hold guys accountable when things aren't going the way they're going. The other story is how we got Robert Garza. And I'm proud of this one because I was close with Robert. I'll never forget Robert Garza had signed in Baltimore. And I was on there. It was in March or April. And I was on the road scouting for the spring, getting ready for the draft. And, you know, I heard across the radio that Robert had signed. So I called Robert and just was going to proud of him. Congratulations. Glad everything worked out. And he goes, Chris, he goes, I flunked my physical and I'm on my way to Minnesota. And I said, what? He goes, yeah. He goes, I flunked my physical on my way to Minnesota. So I called Jerry right away and I said, look, we got to do whatever it takes to get Robert Garza. I said, he flunked his physical. He doesn't have an ACL. I said, but he's played 4 years without it. I said, this guy'll be a Bear a long time if we sign him. And, you know, thankfully, Jerry had been in Tampa. I got to know Jerry, and we were sending players out of Kingsville into Tampa at the time. Al Harris, Lloyd Young, Kevin Dawkins, George Diaz, all these kids went and played for him. So he knew when I was stamping a player from Kingsville and one that I'd been a part of, you know, coaching and been around him for my time in Kingsville, that there's a good chance he's going to work out.
Hey, Chris, we really appreciate the time. We know you've got some other things to do today, obviously, and we got to let you bounce. But one more thing before I let you go, I got to ask you. You are working for, I guess arguably you could put Robert Kraft out there, but Jim Irsay is the most successful owner in the National Football League really over the last 25, 30 years. You just look at the one loss record. He is also one of the most interesting people that I've ever had the pleasure of dealing with and spending some time with. I'm told he is just incredible to work for. What can you tell us about Jim Irsay? Because he certainly is not like most NFL owners.
So he's tremendous. And I've worked for good ownership groups. I've been lucky. You know, the McCaskies were great. They're great to my family. Great to work for. But Jim's, I'll never forget, you know, before I took the job, I talked to Bill Polian and Tony Dungy. And both of them, you know, you're talking about two Hall of Fame executive and a Hall of Fame head football coach. And both of them says the best owner they had worked for. And they were right. I mean, Jim has been a GM. It's one of the unique things working here in Indy. So on, like, tonight after the game and tomorrow when I talk to Jim, he's seen the game like a GM because he's been in the position. So when I talk to him about, I mean, I can't BS my way through it with him. He knows what he's looking at. And when we have issues on the roster, so that's one of the – he wants to win. He knows what he's looking at. But on the flip side of that, he's very patient. He understands how team building takes place. You know, those teams in Indy were drafted. Most of those guys were homegrown Colts, and that's what he wants to do here. We dipped some in the free agency because we had to. But, you know, our goal at the end of the day is to get as many – players that we've drafted and continue to have them as coaches for as long as we can have them. And that he understands that takes some time. But he also, on the flip side of that, he wants to win. He desperately wants to win. And he wants to do it the right way. So that's a pretty cool thing for me as a GM to be able to work for an owner that understands the game and understands what he's looking at.
Chris, I hope, I know you understand. We can't really wish you luck today, but we certainly wish you the best of luck.
You wish me all the luck I want. all the luck you want.
Well, we could, but we'd have some problem with the people that are coming on after you. So it's that we're going to be careful. We really do want to wish you the best of everything in Indianapolis, though. Couldn't be happier for you for the way it's working out down there. And we can't thank you enough for taking time out to join us today.
No, thanks for having me on. Hey, appreciate it, Owen. Appreciate it, Pat.
Thanks, Chris, man. Awesome.
Thanks, Chris. Great job chatting with you.
Be good. Thank y'all.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.